Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simate Vakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivesesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Sadanine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinavandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Piye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yesterday we introduced a meditation about Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. And I think some of you have applied that because you looked so bright-faced when I saw you in the morning. I would like to say something general about Krishna because today is a day where we glorify Krishna. Krishna appears in many different ways to his different worshippers. He appears to them in the degree appropriate to their devotion. A lot of love means you can see a lot of Krishna. Little love means you can see a little of Krishna. And no love for Krishna means you cannot see anything of Krishna or understand anything of him. He can only be known through bhakti, through devotion. Not through the eyes, also not through much hearing. You must have devotion in your heart to be able to appreciate Krishna. Now, from the perspective of Srimati Radharani, who is the origin of bhakti, Krishna reveals himself in a very, very wonderful way. I've collected many notes and written something about it and would like to share this. For Radharani, Krishna looks dark, like a new, fresh monsoon cloud. It's like a cloud bank which appears from the distance. And in that cloud bank of Krishna, she perceives Krishna's amazing yellow dhoti, which does not stand still because Krishna always dances, Krishna always moves, and Braj, the land of Krishna, means that land which moves around. So she sees Krishna's dhoti as a flash of lightning appearing in the cloud bank. So the yellow dhoti doesn't stand still for even a moment. And then she sees on top of this cloud one rainbow, and underneath this cloud another rainbow. The first rainbow which she sees on top of Krishna is the beautiful peacock feather which Krishna playfully sports within the top knot of his hair. He binds his hair like this. And the second rainbow, which seems to dance as Krishna comes into the vision of Radharani, is his multicolored Vajrajanti garland, which, as I said, dances. The perfect meditation of the gopis and Radha is to see Krishna as he dances elegantly in the forest of Braj. And Krishna's peacock feather dances, his hair dances like a swarm of bees, his eyes dances, his eyebrow dances, his finger dances on the flute as he accompanies his dance with beautiful flute music. His Vajrajanti garland dances, and especially his feet, which never stop moving for a second, dance, and so on. And so, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he meditates about this form which Krishna reveals to Radha and says it floods all the worlds with nectar. Someone who has only seen once even a little ray from Lord Krishna's left toenail. It means, you know, the small toe and the left. He forgets this world and all the attractions which this world hold for someone who has not yet observed Lord Krishna's beauty. The devotees of Vrindavan are so charmed by Krishna that they actually have a serious complaint. Once Narada Muni came and reported the Vrindavan Leelas of Krishna to Lord Brahma. And he said to Brahma, "Do you know the ladies of Braj say you have no intelligence? That's why you made a big mistake." Brahma says, "Oh, I didn't know. What is the terrible mistake which leads the gopis to say that my intelligence is corrupted?" Narada answers, "They say you gave to Indra 1,000 eyes. But what does he do with this 1,000 eyes? He looks at the beauty of the heavenly dance girls. But that only incites lust. You should have given," that's what the ladies of Braj say, "1,000 eyes to all of us, so that when one eye blinks, the other sees clearly." And with these 1,000 eyes, we would look at Krishna. And when we look at Krishna, all the lust in the heart is removed, and prema, or love, rises. Brahma, "I see. But what can I do now? It's too late. I can't turn the creation around. And even if I did, they are so enthusiastic for Krishna that they would always find a mistake in me. I will never be able to satisfy these greatest of the Lord's devotees." So the beautiful form of the Lord keeps his devotees spellbound to him. You know, they like to meditate about Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan as he closes the holes of his flute, and when he takes his fingers away from one of the holes, there's a little ring, because Krishna's body is just so delicate and sweet. He doesn't have a lot of horn haut, you know, this heavy, thick skin which workers have. Our Krishna plays the flute. That's what he does. And loves his devotees. So Brahma, Akrura, is as he moves to Krishna, thinking about Krishna's form and his wonderful activities. And one thing he says, I wanted to share with all of you. He says, Krishna is always free from the false identification with the material creations. By his internal potency, he dispels the darkness of separation and confusion. The individual souls in this world who are manifested here when he glances upon his material creative energy indirectly perceive him in the activities of their life as senses and intelligence. You know, Akrura is very philosophical, but what I thought is so worthwhile for all of us to take note of is a little test which we can make in our own Krishna consciousness, a test which shows us how far we are on the path and what we may need to adjust to go further. See, in the material world, anyone who makes contact with matter will have to experience two things: separation from Krishna and feeling unwell about that, and then a confusion of what it is he or she has to do. And this unhappiness and confusion continues as long as you are in a material body. There's really only one way to stop this unhappiness and confusion, and that is to come together with Krishna, with his internal energy. You have to contact Krishna's internal energy. This internal energy is, for instance, very much present when his devotees come and sing his holy name. Then this feeling of unhappiness, which is caused by the separation from God, and the confusion, where should my life go, will go, because the internal energy will work. Sometimes people challenge this. They say, no, we live in the house of the body, and just like a person in any house is influenced by the conditions in the house, I will always be influenced by the material energy. Do you understand the argument? If you go into a house which is cold and damp, feucht, you will experience the coldness and the wetness of the house. So these people argue, as long as we have a material body, we will experience unhappiness and confusion. But this is only true up until someone has contacted the internal energy of the Lord. You need to know where you can contact this internal energy of the Lord. And as you contact it, and if you contact it properly, the confusion of material existence and the unhappiness it brings to us as souls will go. Therefore, such meetings like we have now are so important, because they teach us a very important principle in life. Contact the internal energy, otherwise you are dead. Shukadev Goswami says this. He says, what's the use of breathing? You know, you may say, no, I'm alive, Maharaj, I'm breathe, I'm not dead. But Shukadev Goswami says, what is the use of your oxygen breathing? Don't the bellows, Blasebälge, in the blacksmith's workshop breathe? No, I also have sex life and I make children. No, Shukadev Goswami said, look at the animals in springtime. Children production is going on in full swing. This doesn't make you very, very different. No, but I see things with my eyes. I'm not like an animal. No, Shukadev Goswami said, but look at the eyes printed on the feathers of a peacock. They also interact with their environment, but they don't really recognize anything. And no, I do things with my hands. Yes, but the ghosts also do things with their hands. So the scriptures tell us that without coming in contact with the spiritual energy which energizes us, we are really not fully alive. It only appears as if we are living, but we are, our eyes are like the feathers printed on the eyes printed on the feathers. So please, you check your spiritual life yourself. Find out whether you are cured. Find out if you have overcome the unhappiness and confusion that go along with living in the material world. That is possible because Krishna dispels with his internal energy the darkness born of material life. That's why I think Vaija Janti has done a great service to all of us. She has highlighted for us the meditation on Krishna's lotus feet, which is Radha's lotus feet, this Krishna's lotus feet. As much as Akrura was looking forward to see Krishna in Vrindavan, he also looked forward to see with his eyes the holy Dham, Vrindavan Dham. He very much looked forward, when will I see with my eyes Vrindavan Dham? In just a few minutes, we will show you Vrindavan Dham and Krishna in Vrindavan Dham. There was a photographer who was infused with the internal energy of the Lord, who made some internal photographs of Krishna in Vrindavan. Somehow, for a moment, Krishna showed himself in the photo lens, you will see. Because Vrindavan Dham is able to reveal Krishna to us, devotees since time immemorial have desired to go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Since time immemorial, they have gone there. Vrindavan Dham, I have written something down about it, is a very, very special place. Vrindavan Dham, very difficult to explain because there are two realities in Vrindavan Dham. The reality which you can catch with your senses and the reality which you can catch with your heart, your purified heart. And sometimes they are totally different from each other. I would like to tell you a very famous narration You have heard about Emperor Akbar. Akbar had a jewel which was a person, a living jewel. He was called Tansen, and he was a very, very good singer. He was one of the jewels of Akbar's court. And once Akbar said to Tansen, "You sing so well. When you sing the Agni Sara," that means the fire, the Agni Raga, I wanted to say, "then fire comes. When you sing the rain raga, rain comes. You are the best singer in this world." But Tansen said, "You have not heard my teacher, Swami Haridas." "Oh, I would like to hear him singing." "Ah," said Tansen, "he doesn't sing for any king of this world. He sings only for one king, the King of Kings, whom you call Allah. He will never sing for you." "Oh," said Akbar, "really? But I would love to have my heart touched by a master of music. Can you not help me? And can you not make him sing for me?" And he asked him day after day until Tansen conceded and said, "Come with me to Vrindavan and you will hear the master of sing for his Lord. And this will change your heart forever." So Akbar went with Tansen to Braj, and Tansen said, "You must hide behind the bush here." And Akbar, "What? I'm the emperor here. You hide behind the bush. Here you are the servant." And then Tansen went to Swami Haridas, his teacher, and asked him, "Swami, venerable master, can you please come outside? I have a question." So Haridas came outside of his house. And Tansen said, "In the past you sang the Mala Raga and taught it to me. But I'm not sure if I remember it correctly. Could you kindly see and then correct me?" So Haridas said, "All right, here is your tambura." And Tansen tuned the tambura and started ding, 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 ding. And then he started to sing the Mala Raga, but he deliberately made a mistake. Haridas said, "No, it's not. It's ooh. I can't sing very beautifully." So again, Tansen made a mistake. Then Haridas said, "Give me the tambura." He started to. Then he sang the Mala Raga, which is a raga which brings rain clouds. And he sang and sang, and by the power of his singing, rain clouds assembled in the cloudless sky, and a very fine, sweet-smelling rain drizzle came. And when Akbar saw that where there was no cloud, there was now a perfumed cloud. By the power of this saint's singing, he just fell from behind his bush and fainted. Pang! Haridas said, "Whom did you bring here?" You know, imagine you sing it and pang, a king falls before you. Tansen said, "It's Akbar, he's a good soul, he has protected Hinduism, although he is a Muslim. You kindly give him mercy." So when Akbar awoke after a short time, he said, "I'm so impressed by your singing. I didn't only see a cloud in a cloudless sky. I saw Lord Krishna, who looked so bluish and so on. You made him appear by your wonderful singing. Please, I want to show my gratitude. Give me some seva to Braj. And Haridas said, oh, you are very poor. I don't think you can do any good renovation work here in Braj. No, said Akbar, I'm not very poor. I'm the emperor, and I have a lot of riches. Ah, said Haridas, but you, all your riches are meaningless here in Vrindavan, which is a place of Chintamani. It's called a Chintamani Dham, wish-fulfilling stones. Just see this gut there. Okay, said Akbar. See, there is a crack in the steps. Okay, said Akbar, try to repair only that crack. Akbar looked at the crack, and as he looked at the crack, the cover which is covering Vrindavan, the cover which is covering the whole spiritual world, the cover which is also covering our hearts, was removed by the mercy of Haridas. And he could see that it was sparkling with Chintamani jewels because the kingdom of God was there. And he understood, if I would even take all my treasures together, if I would sell all my elephants and horses, if I would even sell my crown on top of it, I would not have enough money to buy these precious jewels, which are there, and which have made this bathing ghat in Vrindavan what it is. My dear devotees, this is how you must approach the spiritual reality. We are now bound. We are covered. We are blind, so blind. Our perception is covered with the Maya potency, but beyond it is the reality of Krishna consciousness and of the Holy Dham, which was shown just very briefly to Emperor Akbar. So when you come in touch with the ground of Vrindavan, something happens, and I will show you this in a few minutes. The earth, or better, dust of Vrindavan is really very powerful to give love of Krishna into your heart. Because Krishna gives his love through the sound of his flute, that's something which we can not really hear at the present moment. But also, the love of his heart, which rises upwards to his flute, goes downward to his lotus feet, and from there spreads into the dust of Braj. And by rolling into the dust of Braj, you contact that powerful prema which is there, and it will work on your heart. So, when Akrura traveled on the road, there came a time where he reached Vrindavan just as the sun was beginning to set. And in that holiest of holy places, something unexpected happened to him. So we can just imagine, the Bhagavatam speaks about this. While the son of Svapalka, Akrura, traveled on the road and meditated deeply on Sri Krishna, he reached Gokula as the sun was beginning to set. And what he saw was something which totally moved him. Up till now he had meditated about Krishna, but now he contacted Krishna by seeing the footprints which Krishna had left in the ground. When Krishna walks behind the cows, my dear devotees, Mother Earth is screaming because she's split up by millions of very sharp cow hooves. But as Krishna's very soft lotus feet move across her wounds close, and she smiles with happiness. Krishna's lotus feet have a cooling effect. They take away the misery, even of Mother Earth. What to speak of when his lotus feet come into our wounded and hurt and verletzte fragile hearts if we meditate about him. So it's like this. The cows go in front and Krishna comes and he dances and he smiles with his eyes and he always looks around seeing all his coward boys. And some of the coward boys, they walk in front of Krishna, but they walk backwards, you know, they're just to see Krishna. They walk, you know, like, I don't know, like Michael Jackson dances backwards. You know, so I saw one, secretly one movie I saw. Krishna comes here, and the coward boys turn around, and they just look at Krishna. They can't turn their back to him. They are enchanted by the smile of Krishna and by the affectionate words of Krishna and how Krishna jokes with them and laughs. And then all of a sudden giggles and jumps about. He's Krishna, it's Krishna. Very beautiful. And they just can't pull their eyes away from Krishna. So Akura saw the lotus feet of his master. And as he saw that lotus feet, something happened. Akura, tadashanalada vivrita, dashanala, he had the blissful darshan. He was agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints. His bodily hair started to stand on end because of his pure love, and his eyes began to fill with tears. Akrura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about amongst those footprints, exclaiming, "Ah! This is the dust from my master's feet. Ah! This is the dust from my master's feet." Yes. I will say it and then you have to say it, okay? Ah!
Ah!
If some materialist would come at this stage into the temple room, he would not get the highest impression, but he doesn't know what is ecstasy. Okay. Listen and say, "This is the dust from my master's feet."
This is the dust from my master's feet.
Wonderful. So he was rolling in the dust of this footprints. He was weeping. And he was saying, "What fortune has come to me. I have stayed up so many nights in my life. I have cried so much before I could see Krishna. Now I have seen his footprints." Shukadev Goswami says, this ecstasy which Akrura felt upon seeing the footprints of Krishna is the goal of life for all human beings. In spiritual psychology, you would call the footprints an udipan, means something which triggers off a devotional Krishna conscious reaction which comes from the soul. And Akura became overwhelmed. As he was jumping, dancing in the dust, he who was a minister, high-posted minister, started to cry so much that the ground became muddy and the mud started to stick to his good dress. He forgot all his dambha, means all the pride that I am a big politician. What do I do here rolling around? He forgot all his fear that what if Kamsa's spies find out that I roll in the foot dust of his arch enemy. He will torture me and he will bind me and then cut my skin and pull it down on my screaming body. And he gave up all lamentation. Shukadev Goswami talks about this to the devotees to the saints who sit on the banks of the Ganga. Before him sits Parikshit Maharaj, and around him all the venerable saints and sadhus of the universe. And he tells them into their face, the goal of the life for everyone who has taken a human body is to feel this ecstasy which one feels when one sees Krishna's lotus footprints. He seems to say, I have told you enough now. You know everything now. Get up, cello. Let's go to Vrindavan. Let's see the dust of Vrindavan. And all you sadhus, all you big jnanis, all you yogis, give up your pride. Give up your fear. Give up your lamentation. And roll. Roll. Roll in the dust. Huh? That is like this. Srila Prabhupada writes, Akrura's journey to Vrindavan is exemplary. One who attempts to visit Vrindavan should follow the ideal footsteps of Akrura. He should always think of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. And as soon as he reaches the boundary of Vrindavan, it means just where Vrindavan starts, he should immediately smear the dust of Vrindavan all over his body without thinking of his material position and prestige. Actually, no one can go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown by Akrura. Simple. This is sadhana you should practice. Give up your pride, your fear, your lamentation, and meditate about Krishna's lotus feet, which you can see that's the theme here. And these lotus feet will work very, 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 very good. It's a sadhana, it's a practice. At the moment we are covered with pride and fear and lamentation, but by meditating about Krishna's lotus feet, all this can go. I request that we sing a little bit, and you can again try to look at the lotus feet and then close the eyes and bring them into your heart. Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna and Balaram, they were freshly showered. The dust which was all over their body had been cleansed. And Mother Yashoda had put on many jewels. Afterwards, Krishna Balaram had gone to a special place where the many cows had assembled who had waited for them. And Akura saw, after he had taken his bath in the dust, that there were many gopas who milked the cows and filled the buckets with the milk. Everything that Akura had seen in his meditation, the lotus feet, the pastimes, everything came to life when he rolled in the dust of Vrindavan, giving up his pride and his fear and his illusion. He saw that Krishna was in his yellow cloth. Balaram was dressed in dark blue. Both resembled two gold-bedecked mountains. Krishna looked like a mountain of smaragd, and Balaram like a mountain of silver. When Akura looked at Krishna and Balaram, he saw an effulgence which was coming from their bodies and removed the darkness in all directions. And as he came closer to Krishna and Balaram, he noticed they had very big eyes. When they walked, the only way Akura could express it was they walked with the gait of an elephant, in Deutsch mit dem Schritt eines Elefanten. That means they moved so powerfully that it was clear there was nothing which could hold them up. But at the same time, they moved left and right like an elephant, very playful. And whenever they looked at their friends, they smiled. And from their eyes, there was a special substance dripping, which was Karuna. When Akura saw this beautiful scene, when he smelled the fragrance which came from the Lord's body, he was again overwhelmed and quickly fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then again, everything happened just as it had happened in his mental meditation, his manurat. Krishna looked at Akura. He helped him up. He held him to his chest and he said only two words which made Akura so absolutely ecstatic. He said, "Oh, uncle, you have come." One day Krishna will say this to us. "Oh, Jai Krishna, you have come. Oh, Narayani, you have come." Yes. And he will receive the soul with a warm embrace. This Krishna is controlled only by love. You must know when Krishna comes home from being out all day in Braj, he is totally covered with dust. The mother Yashoda said, "Oh Krishna, my darling boy, why do you have to run behind the cows and be covered with dust? Come here to your mother." And Krishna looks, sits down on her lap and says, "Oh mother, I have come." Then Yashoda said, "Close your eyes now." And she blows with her own breath the dust away from Krishna's eyes. But Krishna wants more love, so he makes that some dust sticks. Then Yashoda spits on her sari and wipes the sticking dust out of Krishna's corner of the eye. This Lord is a Lord which is conquered by love, by affection. This Lord we can approach when the darkness has gone out of our hearts. Most of us have made a carcass, ein Sarg, and we put our heart in the carcass. We are so disturbed with relationships, with disappointments, that we take our heart and put it into the graveyard. We put it in a carcass, ein Sarg. And we have that carcass, we have our heart in a carcass on our shoulder. But then the Lord sees us and he said, "You nonsense, is this a graveyard? Where is your heart?" In Krishna consciousness, we want to revive that heart in a spiritual way. We want to free it from the darkness of material illusion by making the journey of Akrura, where we move towards Krishna and we occupy our minds not with the latest politics and the latest rumors, but we occupy our mind with Krishna, his names, his lotus feet, his form, and his activities. And as our heart becomes free from the inner darkness, more and more we approach Krishna, then we will feel some ecstasy when we see something of Krishna, like Akrura who saw the footprints. And as we are born again in the ocean of ecstasy and come out of that ocean, we will see the Lord as Akrura saw him in Vrindavan. This journey, Prabhupada says, Akura's journey is an exemplar, means an example, for all the practicing devotees in this life and in this world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Request you now to turn around . This is the second part of the Katha Roaming in Braj. Narottam Das Thakur says When will I chant the names of Hari and see Lord Madan Mohan? In this way, I will want to roam. Roam means to walk on the path of Braj. Well, singing the names of Hari and roaming on the path of Braj. And this is what we will do now. We will follow this parrot. He was showing us the route. Actually, to go to Vrindavan, someone needs to open the door for you. This is Vaijayanti, who has done maybe 20 Braj Mandal Parikramas, and she opens the door of Brinda Devi's temple in Kamyavan to us. But in another way, Shyamnam, wenn immer ich den Finger hochmache, musst du weitergehen. In another way, this is a symbolic language. Brinda Devi, who is the guardian in Braj, is opening the door for all of us. There's a verse in the Vinda Devastakam. It says, O Vrinda Devi, I am without any bhakti. I have nothing to give to you. My heart is empty. But you kindly, out of your own compassion, take pity upon me. And then when Vrinda Devi hears such a prayer and such devotion, she will return to the devotees. Three things she gives. We were reading this in Vishwanath Thakur's writing. One is residence in Vrindavan. The second is the eyes which behold the pastimes of Krishna. And the third is Prema Bhakti. In this temple of Vrinda Devi, we also have this deity of Mahaprabhu. Do you know what these hands mean? These outstretched hands? Here, take. Where are your hands? Why can't you receive my gift? Take. In the central altar, where there is the beautiful Lord, is Radha Govinda's altar. And it's Radha Rani, and then on Govinda Dev's right side is Lalita. See Govinda Dev. Rupa Goswami has written about this deity that don't go and see the Lord playing his flute, because if you go, you will lose all your attachment to society, friendship and love. After taking the blessings of Vrinda Devi and Govinda Dev, our little group of devotees who was dedicated to roaming in Vrindavan continued first through this town of Kamyavan. And we will just, you know, just a few pictures. Hare Krishna! She watches if you are full of Krishna consciousness. So we will walk a little bit through Kamyavan, the town, and I want to ask Gaurahari, can we find the melody which we were singing? On the way. Who remembers? Yeah, a little higher. Nakishna Hareha. Higher. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, This is the temple where the devotees stayed. Oh, this is close to the temple. It's the place of Jai Krishna Das Baba, who was chanting in this little hut which you see in the back on the painting. But every day these boys came and disturbed him. Baba, Baba, Baba. And he screamed out of the hut, "Go, go, go. I need to do my bhajan. What is it that you want?" One day the boy said, "We are so thirsty. Come out of your hut, you Baba, and give us something to drink." And Jai Krishna Das Baba thought, maybe I should give them something to drink, then I have my peace. And he took this pot. You can see it on the left side. Can you see that? It's a clay pot with a, listen to this English word, noozle. That's a noozle, this thing. And he started to pour it into the hand of one of the boys. Please look at the painting. As he was pouring, he looked into the eyes of the boy, and the boy looked into his eyes. And the Baba understood, this is Krishna. The boy who always came to disturb me was Krishna. And he kept on pouring, and the water you can see there was
was falling by the hands of Krishna. Yes, it's coming down. And Krishna looked at his eyes and he looked at his eyes. And then Jai Krishnadas Baba fainted. When he woke up, he thought, was it just a dream? But as he breathed in, he smelled the fragrance of the Lord, which was still there. So this is a true story. This is a true pot. See, that pot has seen Krishna. And here you see the beads in the next picture of Jai Krishnadas Baba, who also saw Krishna. Krishna's very real in Vrindavan. So as we were moving on, we saw many of these pastimes places. The people looked at us, we looked at them, and we thought, maybe one of them is Krishna. Maybe this one. You never know in Vrindavan. Remember Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Krishna came as a cowherd boy? This is the prize crown picture. It won €1 million in the contest. No, I'm joking. Now we will just see a few images of Brijbasis. And there's so many pictures. We can just, you know, bombard you with them. Because as you go through Vrindavan, you see all this. And every little thing, little door opening, is giving away another mystery and another secret. It's a place where devotion is more real than the air which you breathe in. So I want to just show you a few pictures. What you should do now is you should imagine you walk with us. Gaurahari is our guide. Gaurahari and Vaijajanti, they did the scouting first. And they took us on this route. And these are some impressions which we saw. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We were singing all the time as we were walking. Gaurahari played the harmonium, Atul Krishna the Madanga, and all of us, we were singing. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we came to this place, where once Krishna was asked by the gopis, what can you do? Krishna said, I am Rama. I can build a bridge of stones which float over the ocean. Ha ha, said the gopis. Anyone can say that. Prove it. At this, Krishna took his flute and called with his flute the monkeys of Vrindavan. And they brought all these stones and they threw them in the water. And the stones started to float. You know everything. So there are these stones still, and they have the name of Rama engraved on them, because the monkeys of Vrindavan rode Rama and saved Krishna from being laughed at by the gopis. Yes, please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. O Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We became very hungry from roaming in Vrindavan, but then the devotees went to this simple family and said, oh, we are so hungry, please give us some rotis. And immediately these Vrijbasis began to cook these rotis. They are like chapatis, non-ekadasi, but there was no ekadasi. So we would see a few rotis. All you ladies, can you make rotis which blow up like this ones? And very, very tasty. And this little girl made a chutney for us and cooked, you know. And really, when we wanted to give them some donation for this, they said, no, 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 no. This is our donation for you. And we, in Vrindavan, no one has to get hungry because Krishna takes care of you. So that we did. Here we are eating. Please continue our little walk by singing. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the cave where Vyomasura had kidnapped all of Krishna's friends. It's a cave, and you can see we are just talking about the pastime. On the left side is Bhagavad Dharma. Can you see? And in the back of the cave there is Ananda Chaitanya and Gaurahari. Then you can see Vanunandini and Vajrayanti. And Siam Nam is there with the camera, somewhere flying in the sky before the cave. It's so nice to go through Vrindavan. It's so nice to sing the holy names in Vrindavan. It's so nice to eat the food which the Vrijbasis give. And it's even nice to get a sunburn in Vrindavan, because everything is so blissful. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Sing, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Plates which you can see here are really like this all over Vrindavan. When Krishna went with his cowherd boyfriends, they used stones as plates from which they took their lunch. This was the last lunch which Krishna took before he left with Akrura Vrindavan. And to remind his cowherd boyfriends that he still loves them, he left these impressions on the stones. The stones have the plates still from which Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends ate. And here you see that white thing, that is the yogurt which Krishna smeared on the stone. It's still visible today, inviting all of us, come, come, where are you staying? As Prabhupada said in the words of Krishna, why are you rotting in this material world? Come, come join me. Roaming So we will just conclude our journey. These are some palm trees. Look at these images of Vrindavan. All of a sudden, everything turns, the atmosphere, so that you feel that this is the spiritual world. This looks so different from the material world. And more than anything, it feels so different here. See, Vrindavan, you can't really see with your eyes. You have to feel it with your purified heart. So roaming through Vrindavan is one of the ways you can purify your heart. We will just end with kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Amen. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Please be merciful to me just this one time and allow me to see your and Radhika's beautiful lotus feet. This is my heartfelt desire. This is also the theme of this year's Sangamela Krishna Katha. Akrura meditated on his way to Vrindavan about the lotus feet of Krishna. Please, my dear devotees, take this meditation of the lotus feet with you into your life. Maybe you can try when you do kirtan in the new year, meditate about the lotus feet, which are like torches which remove the inner darkness. Let us lovingly raise our hands in the air and shout, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Krishna.